Not always. I mean, as a matter of restraint and wisdom that you can use one a little bit. I'm glad I grew up without the rascals, devils in my front room. I just didn't have a golden calf. And Mama turned it on while she'd be washing dishes or ironing clothes. She had one of them old irons, didn't make no noise neither. One of them old flat irons. Had an old kerosene stove, and she had two of them. She'd heat one, rub, rub. I remember her rubbing them old clothes, trying to get the wrinkles out. Then when it get too cold to get a wrinkle out, she'd stick it back on the fire, and she'd take the other one off. She had a piece of cloth. She'd rub it over to get the smut off, then she'd start rubbing them clothes. And all the time, the radio was on with old Edward McHugh, your gospel singer. And he'd be singing a song, something about what I'm preaching about this morning. Preaching and singing about a message in song. Does God care? One of them was, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watcheth over me. Me who? God don't watch over everybody. God watches over his own. The Bible teaches us his eyes are on the faithful of the land. Psalm 101, verse 6, his eyes are on the faithful of the land. Casting our care upon him, for he careth for you. In the fourth chapter of Mark, we read here a story about Jesus beginning in verse 35, the same day at even, that was at sundown. He said, let us pass over unto the other side. When he had sent them away, the multitude that was, they took him into even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. He didn't take a bunch of worldly people with him. He took his own holy disciples. Well, I was just thinking about the difference between the blessing upon people that love God, serve God, are faithful to God, obedient to God. Brother Ben here today from Nigeria, he says you can go over in his nation. It's the richest nation in Africa, but it's the most corrupt nation. He said, bribes, you can bribe anybody with 50 cents or a dollar. If you go into customs, you don't have some money in your hand. Take anything you want, hand the custom agent a U.S. dollar or something other, go right over. But he says the main difference is in northern Nigeria, I believe he said, it's Muslim, and it's poverty-stricken. Everything is down in the dumps, and in the southern part are Christians. And what a difference. Well, of course, there's a difference. God don't take the same care for a bunch of heathens and pagans that he looks out for his own people. Let me tell you, he's one of them. They have people there that are results of the labors of missionaries over there for years that really know the Lord. And you can tell the difference when you get in a Christian community and when you get around a bunch of heathens. Praise God for it. You come out here by this property and go by somebody else's. You can tell the difference. Christians are clean. You take a bath. You wash your hair. Praise God. You dress right. And God honors you for all of that. It's part of obedience. And God loves to manifest the difference. But going on now, Jesus took his apostles with him, and he entered his ship at sundown to cross back over from where they'd been, over in the land of Gadara, back over into Galilee. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves began to beat the ship, and it was now full. And Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep upon a pillow. And they awake him. Why, he wasn't in there terrified because the storm had come, because he knew that God would take care of him. And they cried unto him, waking him up and saying, Master, carest not that thou perish, in our terminology. Don't you give two hoots, or don't you care whether we're going to drown out here or not? They were terrified. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm, and it was immediate. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. I'll tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is not round rebuking winds and calming the sea. for every old coot that comes along and claims to be a Christian, but for those that really know the Lord, that can call upon him in time of their distresses, and he hears them and answers their cry. And they find out in these times of trouble that Jesus does really care. Whenever you got pains in your body, it's simple now. Most Christians holler they got faith in God, but what do they do? Haul for the doctor? Boy, take off on the run. Somebody get me there quick. I'll take you, honey. Oh, no, call an ambulance. He's quicker than you are. I want a shot right in there. Oh, that feels so good. Well, that wasn't Jesus touched you. It's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. These old dumb Christians and preachers talking about how God brought them through. Why, how about the guy next door to you there? Don't even know God. Some of them lived, some of them died. How about that? There's just as many Christians dying about it as anybody else, percentage-wise. But Lord heals you. Nobody don't have to lay any hands on you except the anointing oil of the elders. Praise God. I heard a preacher say yesterday that James 5, 14 and 15, is any sick among you, call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven him. That preacher preaching on radio yesterday says that anointing means you minister to them with medical assistance. Well, how could an elder minister to you with medical assistance? If you called me, I wouldn't even know how to give you an aspirin. You'd be in a scrape because I couldn't minister to you except with faith and prayer and the anointing oil. The Bible didn't say call the doctor. It said call the elders of the church. They're not skilled in medicine. They didn't go to a medical college to go around and anoint you with oil, and the rascal is a liar. The Bible didn't say that. He said the word anointing don't mean anything to do with the work of the Holy Spirit. It means the anointing oil of the apothecary that's for medicinal purposes. Oh, Lord have mercy, what a lie. And that's what the churches today are full of, all this mess of lying, telling you if you go to the hospital, you're trusting God. Well, how could you know where Jesus helped you or not? How about you went in there and you died? How do you explain that? The Bible said the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And the Bible also, that's in Psalm 70 and verse 12, 10 and 12. All right? The Bible says also in Exodus 23, beginning in verse 20, down in verse 25, God said if we listen to him, the number of our days we would fulfill. In Psalm 9 and 10 says, the number of our days is 70 years and 10. So we go up there and we die. The Lord didn't have nothing to do with it. He didn't have nothing to do with it to start with. I thank God for doctors and what they're doing for people that don't have a lick of faith. But why in the world they want to pervert the word of God for and pervert faith in God, and then equate their going to the doctor with having faith in God. There's nothing to it. It's a stinking lie. Let me tell you, Jesus cares enough for you and me that when you can't get to the doctor, he'll hear your prayer if you'll live right. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus. You can call on him in the night when there's nobody around you. You can call on him when there's no help available. You can cry out for help if your life is conformed to his word and you show your love by obedience to him. The Lord will help you in the night seasons and all the day long. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ never sleeps. He's always awake and his ears are open to our cry. The Bible says in Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Praise God. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I'll not fear what man can do unto me. Praise God. Let me tell you something. These disciples out there on the sea, there wasn't nobody out there with no magic. They didn't wave their hands over the place. There wasn't anybody that come out there and pull some kind of a natural or physical shenanigan. Jesus stood up and merely said, peace, be still, and the storm subsided. And then he looked at them and said, why are you fearful? Why didn't you have faith enough to do it? See, Jesus said if we fast and pray, boy, you mentioned fasting to the church today, you done got yourself in trouble. See, because you can't speak them words unless you fast and pray. Praying is not enough. And Jesus cares enough for us to hear us if we'll pay the price and meet the conditions. But Jesus himself said in Matthew 17, verse 20 and 21, he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it'll remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind of faith cometh not but by prayer and fasting. All right. That's why the Bible tells a Christian to call for the elders of the church. Those elders of the church should be men of fasting and prayer, men of dignity, men of integrity, men that are holy men, that put the holiness of God above every pleasure and every human desire for the pleasures in world conformity. And then those men, God says, if you'll call them and they'll anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith of which they're capable of praying, then if you've got sin in your life that hinders you, God will even forgive your sin. That's going to hinder you from having the healing that you desire. And what hinders God from healing your body when you cry for it? S-I-N. Why don't God heal us? James 4 and 3 says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. Do you think God wants to heal your body for 1 minute for you to go out and live like the world? No, he don't. He don't want to. He won't. And if you do, you're going to hear the words like he spoke to the man in John the 5th chapter, the pool of Bethesda. After he'd healed him, he found him again in verse 14. He said, sir, you're made whole. Go and sin no more, or a worse thing will come upon you. I've seen that happen so many times. You relate it to Christians, and some preachers got them all fouled up. They don't believe nothing. But I tell you, I believe the Bible, and let every man be a liar and God be true. I'm not going to try to please somebody just because they don't like what they hear and they want somebody to tickle their ears. There's plenty of these old preachers tickle your ears, but they won't tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. There's three things have got to relate to you and your need from God. You've got to believe God. God don't honor doubt. God don't honor your doubts for 1 minute, your unbelief. You've got to believe God. Jesus, he continually told the people of his day, according to your faith, so be it unto you. One of the greatest miracles in the Word of God, I think, is recorded about Jesus, and the reason it was so great is because you can see the faith in action. That's in John, the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 47, Jesus came out of Judea into Galilee. And as he went his way, here came a nobleman unto him, beseeching him to come down and to heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And Jesus added injury to insult when he said to him, except you see signs and wonders, you'll not believe. See, the Lord tried people's faith. He was rough. This here sweet Jesus business is just not true. Jesus was rough on the people that come to him. You remember that little lady came to him for her daughter in Matthew 15, the 15th chapter. She says, Lord, come down, says, heal my daughter. She is grievously vexed of a devil. And Jesus answered her not a word. And his disciples cried after him and said, send her away. She's troubling us. And he says, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she come down and worshiped him and said, Lord, help me. He said, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to a dog. How many Church of God people, Pentecostal Assembly of God, all these so-called full gospel people would have stayed there and took that? You know any would? They'd all gone home so quick it made your head swim, mad as a hornet. Hey, lady, it's not right to take the children's bread, the healing, and give it to your daughter who's a dog. Insult. That was a sweet Jesus that these phonies talk about today. Sweet. Do you call a man sweet going around looking at folks, call them generation of vipers and serpents? in the damnations of hell is reserved for you, looking at Peter, his choice apostle, and saying, get behind me, Satan! You don't savor the things that be of God, you savor the things that be of men. Everywhere Jesus went, he was rebuking people, calling them serpents and devils and hypocrites, and all kind of pet names. You don't hear preachers tell about the real Jesus. He always got that little sweet Jesus that don't exist. He insulted that woman, but that woman kept coming. She said, yes, Lord, but the dogs eat of the master's crumbs that fall from their table. And Jesus' reply was, go thy way. Great is thy faith, and as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. Jesus cared. He had a tough shell, but he cared. He had a heart with compassion. But he demanded that people believe and obey the word of God. And he still does. Now this nobleman with his son at the point of death in John 4, Jesus said to him, except I show you a sign and wonder, you won't believe. That wasn't because Jesus didn't care. It was to challenge his faith. For without faith, you can't please God. And without faith, James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. When you don't believe, you don't get anything from the Lord. You might get it from the dispensary. You might get it from the clinic. You might get it from the hypodermic needle of the doctor jamming it in your side and stopping the pain. Now let me tell you something. Jesus cares, but he cares about your soul more than he cares about your body. He wants to get your heart, your mind, and your spirit right. Then you're going to do things holily and justly and unblameably before him. Oh, the old devil was so right centuries ago when he looked at God. When Job was on trial for his life, and when the Satan came before the Lord said, if you considered my servant Job, there's none like him in the earth, a perfect man and upright and feareth God and hateth evil. Here Job, devil replied, and it applies to every Christian today. Skin for skin, yea, all a man hath will he give for his life, to save my life, to help my body not to have pain and to preserve my life. I'll give everything. But giving to God? Let me get that pocketbook out here. You can tell an old tight wad. He's got one of them little pocketbooks down in his pocket, and he's got it full of pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters, $2 or $3. He looks in that thing. There, Lord. But if it's a doctor bill to pay, he don't look in that little thing, because that ain't going to pay the drug. It's much less the doctor. You're going to have to go to your savings account. You're going to have to go get your bonds. You're going to probably have to mortgage your house. You're going to have to call for hospitalization and the comfort of Uncle Sam. But if you trust God, just be faithful to God. Have faith in God. Trust God. And then have patience to wait upon him, because you know you've been obedient to the Lord. Listen, I know when I'm obedient to God, and when pain begins to rack my body, when I know I've obeyed God faithfully, I can stay right there on my bed and look up in God's face. And like Job 13:15, he says, though you slay me, I'm still going to trust you. Kill me or take me, Lord. That's what Job was saying. And I've said the same thing a many times. I'm not bragging about it either. Not bragging one bit. I'm just telling you what God said. What is God going to honor whenever the test comes, whenever pain comes, whenever need comes, whenever want comes, whenever family problems, any other problem arises? He's not going to honor what you think. He's going to honor his word. Because God has magnified his word even above all his name. You can honor Jesus till you blue in the face, but God still honors that word ahead of Jesus. Well, Jesus is the Word. But I'm talking about the name. Don't holler that name unless you've been obedient. So the nobleman, here's the wonderful thing about him. He replied to Jesus in verse 49 of John 4. He said, Sir, come down, or before my child dies. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. He spoke the word. What happened to the man? Did he argue? Said, no, nothing doing. You're going with me. No. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way.